Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 12 to 3 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. The Doug Gottlieb Show broadcast from a little bit chilly, but sunny Southern California. Sweatshirt day, sweatpants day here in SoCal. We got a lot to get to. I have some thoughts on Mario Cristobal going home. Of course, I'm sure people are going to want me to rake him over the coals. Over when I asked him after a gigantic win over Ohio State this year about the USC job. And of course, he took the Miami job instead. I actually am going to fully and completely support, in some sense, Mario and how he handled it then and what he's doing now. Welcome in. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show. Also, look, I have opinions on all sorts of hires and how I think it's going to work. I will tell you, there's a hire in college basketball that so far appears to be way more impressive than I thought. I'm not going to deny. Now, there's other parts that kind of go into it, and there's just a lot to discuss. We'll get to that upcoming in the show. I have a question for you that we'll get to upcoming in 15 minutes. Okay, here's the question. Why doesn't anybody care about the Heisman Trophy anymore? No. Just think about that. We'll get to it in 15 minutes. Did that? No, but I 15 minutes. Okay. Let's start with yesterday in the National Football League. I did, just so we're aware, I got a chance to attend the Raiders and football team game. I mean, like, look, they are called the football team. And I actually kind of dig that they're the Washington football team, but it's like, who's playing? The football team. No, I know it's like a who's on first sort of joke. Who's playing? The football team. I know the football team's playing. What's their name? The football team. But I got a chance to go to Allegiant Stadium yesterday with my son. We had like 15 in our traveling party. It was awesome. Quick shout out to my man, Chris Humphreys, who has become a close friend. His son Jackson plays for me, and we spent a couple days coaching my boys in Vegas, and that was like the treat of the trip. So, anyway, we got a chance to go to the Raider game. There was some good and some bad, and I'll kind of discuss that later on the show. But while the game is going on, you know, you're in these stadiums, and I was in the club level. You can actually watch other games. And I was watching the Ravens and the Steelers game. And the Ravens, of course, scored a late touchdown and decided to go for two. Now, first, I'll let John Harbaugh explain his logic behind going for two. We'll get to that. And then I'll give my kind of overarching thoughts. But I remember watching it at the time, and it remains, first, the greatest rule change in the history of the NFL, that to go for two, it remains at the same spot, but the extra point is now something that is missable. So it's not, the math to it is different than it used to be, because it's not a 99.9999999% of the time extra point. Essentially, one extra point. There is a level to it to where you can't, but they have Justin Tucker, so the idea that Justin Tucker would miss an extra point in that situation doesn't fit. Here's John Harbaugh on why he went for two.
What went into the decision-making to go for two instead of just kicking?
Try to win the game right there. We were pretty much out of corners, you know, at that point in time. So an opportunity to try to win the game right there.
Is that exactly what you wanted from that play, John, just not executing?
You saw the play. I mean, it's that close. You know, it's a game of inches. You saw the Pacino speech and then you give him Sunday, right? There you go. That's football. That's just that close.
Here's Lamar Jackson on what happened in the play.
I rapped to him. I just put it on his chest. You know, I couldn't do that just because, you know, TJ Watt got range. You know, he's a long guy. But, you know, I just had to throw around him and try to make something happen. That's all. And we just came up short.
Here, so there's a bunch to go into it, right? I'll play for you Big Ben in a second. And this idea that it's probably his last season is nothing profound to any of us. But, you know, in his own world, obviously for Ben Roethlisberger, the finality of this year is becoming more and more apparent. And I do respect that John Harbaugh admitted he didn't have any other corners. Because what happens in these games is we view it like it's Madden. We view it like it's strictly about the analytics of going for it. We view it as this, there's this machismo, always go for it, always go for the win, which, by the way, is the Ravens mentality. The problem with that Ravens mentality, and remember, they have this record of wins consecutively in the preseason. And if you remember, in their last preseason game, they played their starters more than they should have, and they suffered two very, very devastating injuries for this season for the Ravens. And the excuse is, hey, we just play to win all the time, and sometimes this happens. It is, in fact, football, which I get. But, you know, it's the old risk-reward in any of these. And that same risk-reward of playing guys in the preseason is the risk-reward of going for a two-point conversion when it's not a necessity yesterday. It's just not. Now, maybe Harbaugh is admitting what the old adage is in fact true. Or maybe he's just bullheaded and I need an excuse to try and win everything, so I pointed out the cornerbacks. But here's the basic way of looking at, do you go for two or do you play for overtime? You ready? Yeah. Who has the better team? Right. If you're the better team and you have momentum and the other team's defense is on fumes because you've been mounting a furious comeback and suddenly they're backpedaling, that team should want to play more football. If you're the inferior team and you're trying to steal a win, well, then you go for two, because then you say all it takes is one play to win a game, as opposed to if we just kick this extra point, now we got to find a way to either score a touchdown or stop them and then get a field goal. This is a general belief in all of sports, right? The longer it goes, it's the reason the NBA changed their playoff format, because the original series used to be a three-game series and they had too many upsets in the first round. The more games that are played, the less likely it is with an upset. Now, the problem with playing longer is you do sustain more injuries in the NBA, which has become apparent. There's a yin and a yang to every different thing. But this is not the only sport in which it occurs. You know, in the NBA, there's the old adage of, hey, if you're on the road and you're down two, go for the win, go for three. Why? They're at home. They're rested. Just try and get out of there and steal a win. If you're trying to steal a win, you go for two. If you're the better team and you're trying to solidify it and use the momentum you have, well, then you kick the extra point. And I walk into that game, and I don't know enough about the immediacy of the cornerback position, but if, in fact, they had nobody who could play cornerback, well, I mean, then you go for two. But it's not because of the machismo of, let's just win the game and make a point. Like, do it smart. And what's smart is the better team should want to play more. The inferior team should want to get it over with. By the way, there's a report out that Ben Roethlisberger is starting to realize this will be his last year in Pittsburgh. Here's him addressing that report.
Well, I haven't told everybody that. No. You know, honestly, we just got done with this game. I'm exhausted. And we play in a couple hours, it feels like. And so that's my focus. My focus is on Minnesota and what we have to do to get ready. I'll address any of that stuff after the season. I've always been a one game at a time, one season at a time person. I'm going to stay that way.
Here's Mike Tomlin on that report.
Ben doesn't allow it to become an issue. Ben has been pretty solid in terms of his expressions that he's singly focused on what it is that we're doing now. He'll deal with those things on the other side of this journey, and I'm with him on it. And so it is not a distraction. I thought it was funny that it was seemingly a story this weekend, to be quite honest with you.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. This show is brought to you by one of our favorite cities, Las Vegas. When I was in most of this weekend, the greatest arena on earth. Plan your trip today at visitlasvegas.com. Yeah, look, I think both of them are, it's pretty obvious that it's true. Ben is somehow over the hill here. You know, I'm not somehow, like it's reality that he was probably over the hill last year, and this year it's become more important. And maybe that's even more impressive about their ability to still win games. And the Ravens kind of saving the Steelers season by going for two yesterday. But I don't feel like anyone read that story and goes, oh, that's a surprise. This is not Andrew Luck coming into what should have been the prime of his career, walking away because of another preseason injury that he couldn't shake. This is Ben Roethlisberger at the end of a Hall of Fame caliber career when it becomes painfully obvious he just doesn't have it anymore. If you were to go and ask me, or if I'm going to ask Dan Beyer, or if I'm going to ask Jason Stewart, or ask Cowherd, or ask Dan Patrick, ask any of our hosts, hey, give me the five most prestigious awards in sports. I think the Heisman Trophy would still be in the talk of the top two or three, definitely would be in the top five. If you were to go back 20 years ago, you'd be hard-pressed to not find a more prestigious award in all of sports than the award given to the best college football player of any given year. But why doesn't anybody truly care anymore about the Heisman Trophy?
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. So I was, I had lunch with a couple of my friends yesterday. We got done. We were in Las Vegas and coached the boys in a couple basketball games. Then we were going over to the Raider game. And we went to a little place where you got like Blaze Pizza, Firehouse Subs, Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf. Like, let's just stop and everybody get. So we sat down. A buddy of mine's like, who's going to win the Heisman Trophy? I'm like, excuse me? He's like, well, you know, you work in sports. Like, who's going to win the Heisman Trophy? And I was like, I don't know. And you know, at that point in time, you start to feel like, wait a second now, is he going to Vegas to go in, or is he calling Bet Rivers to go put some money on it? Is there somebody that he wants to recommend that I show for? You know, this is one of those where I was trying to figure out. And he's like, no, I just, you know, we were watching the games the day before. And now everybody's saying Bryce Young's going to win the Heisman. Who else is in the conversation? And you know what I thought to myself? I thought, I don't even know. Right? Is it Pickett from Pittsburgh? Like, where else would we go? And so I said, you know, I think Bryce Young's going to win it. He's got 43 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He's thrown for over 4,300 yards in college football. That's obscene. It's just obscene. He's also run for 3 touchdowns. So, I mean, accounted for 46 touchdowns. That's a lot. That's a lot. So, I turned to him and I said, you know, Rob, to be honest with you, nobody cares. He's like, what do you mean nobody cares? It's the Heisman Trophy. And I was like, no, I'm not disputing that when we were kids, it was the most prestigious award, not just in college sports, but maybe in all of sports. Right? Maybe in all of sports. So how did we get here? And so we were, as a group of guys, we're sitting around, and another buddy of mine, Ali, says, yeah, you know, it's kind of like baseball. I said, it's a lot like baseball. I said, you know, it may even be more, as much like hot stove league baseball, where now we don't care about Major League Baseball offseason signings, but the NBA and the free agency movement, it's become almost another sport. So I guess here's the question. And if you think that everybody cares about the Heisman Trophy, and you may be living in a college town, or maybe you're listening to us somewhere in the South, and you're like, well, of course, you know, or you have your own favorite. I'll challenge you on this. Dan Beyer, who won the Heisman Trophy last year? Actually, Dan's probably the worst guy to ask because he knows everything. Damn it. Let me ask Jason Stewart, who won the Heisman Trophy last year?
I have to admit that I looked it up. I'm not good at this, but, you know, the Eagles wide receiver, Devontae Smith.
If I would have asked you and not looked it up, would you have known?
It would have taken me a while to remember it. Eventually, I would have gotten there. But, yeah, it's
who won,
it doesn't
who won
come
the year before? Or do you have the list in front of you?
Yeah, I have the list. I'm the wrong guy to ask her.
No, I guess it's actually a question to me. Beyer, who won it two years ago?
Yeah, I can't. Off the top of my head, I can't remember.
Right? And now, again, Dan, we're about the same age, right? Jason, we're all kind of same age. Am I wrong that 20 years ago, there was no greater discussion? I mean, like, well, the Reggie Bush versus Vince Young thing was a huge thing. Huge thing. And you stayed to watch the last game of the regular season where Vince Young played A&M, and then Reggie Bush played UCLA. Vince Young was Reggie Bush was awesome. Reggie Bush won it. And now the discussion is, should he get it back after having to give back the Heisman Trophy? Like, I'm not mispainting the picture of how important that award was 20 years ago.
No.
Okay, so here's my hypothesis. You ready? All right. There's a bunch of different little things. Right? There's a bunch of different little things. Like, I think they've done a terrible job of who votes for the Heisman Trophy. Media has changed dramatically in the last 25 years. Dramatically. Right? But like Fox Sports Radio, I think we get one vote. I don't even know if we get a vote.
We don't.
If you have a vote, it's usually because you cover a team, which, by the way, is the most flawed thing ever. Like, you cover one team, so you get a vote. How could you possibly see the rest of the world of college football? The voting process was put into place back before we had the proliferation of sports on television. The people that know the most are people that work for the TV companies that are the analysts, or maybe even national radio hosts. I would say, like, right? Like, do I know more about football than Matt Leinart or anywhere near Matt Leinart or Reggie Bush or Brady Quinn, all these guys that covered? Like, no. But if you're going to give it to a beat writer, then yes, I do. So part of it is I don't. And by the way, if I had a vote, I'd be publicizing that I have a vote, and I maybe do my weekly Heisman thing. But instead, it's very, very niche. Very niche. I also think, you know, you struggle to, now we have the three most important games in the college football season come after the award has already been given, and that seems flawed. It does. But here's the number one thing. The other part, the college football playoff is a lot like the NCAA tournament where nothing else really matters, and that almost matters too much. So these are all part of the hypothesis, but the real reason, I believe, is because how many Heisman Trophy winners have been either non-pros or bad pros at the same position? And because of it, in people's mind, it's all been about, well, if you're really the best, then you're going to be the best at the next level. That's not actually how it works. But that's what's happened. Right? So many Tim Tebow's out there. And Tim Tebow's not even Ron Dane's. And kind of go through the list of Heisman Trophy winners. And Jason White won the Heisman Trophy. Yes, yeah. Joe Burrow. And yes, Lamar Jackson. And yes, Derrick Henry and Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, Jameis Winston. But, you know, Mark Ingram, Johnny Manziel, Tim Tebow, Troy Smith, Jason White, Ron Dayne, Chris Winkie. Right? Even though Charles Woodson was a great college player, probably shouldn't have won the Heisman Trophy, but he translated to the NFL as a great player. Matt Leinart, the quarterback of the greatest team in modern football history, right, in terms of the run that they had. But he wasn't a great pro. And so, I think in many people's minds, Marcus Mariota, it diminishes the value of that award. Anyway, that was a thought I had.
Because you posed it to us, I was trying to think of the reasons. I also think, like, even though the names of the Heisman Trophy winners of recent history are noticeable, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, Joe Burrow, look at those three guys and what do they all have in common? They were transfers. And maybe it took him a while to burst on the scene or appear on the scene. Where when you mention a Ron Dayne or you mention a career of Peyton Manning or someone like that, where we followed guys for pretty much their entire college careers. And a lot of times lately, it seems that guys are just bursting on the scene, whether it be via transfer, whether it be just because freshmen play early, you know, redshirt freshmen. And then they're even gone after that. Like there's also not a lot of time to follow guys or get to know guys in their career, because if they reach that point, then they move on to the NFL.
That's a great point. It is a great point that the transferring or the sped up amount of time that they're out of play. You know, Kyler Murray started for 1 year at Oklahoma, right?
Yeah.
Joe Burrow started 2 years, but he was bad. He was very average his first year, and then otherworldly the second year.
Yeah. And the first two, you know, the first 2 years he was at a different school
and didn't play.
Yeah.
Didn't play. Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. He was also in Vegas this weekend. TJ Husmanzadeh joins us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. I'll tell you this about my experience. And I don't know if you've actually, I know you didn't go to the game yesterday. You went back home so you could watch all the games. Have you been to a Raider game yet?
I have not. I have not been to a Raider game.
Of the decisions the NFL has made, okay, I think moving back the extra point, building a ridiculous building in LA, and then the Raiders in Vegas, like these are to say home runs, right? Because you got Raider fans obviously in Vegas where they've always been popular, but now they have a team that they can really embrace. So like it makes it a first class, world class city, but it also allows for Oakland and LA Raider fans to fly in and make a weekend out of it, as well as other fans. Like it is to say it's perfect is to underscore how perfect it actually is.
The environment, man, you just being out there, the fans, and it's what you said, they have a nice stadium, it's brand new, but there's just so much to do out there. Just the tailgating area that they have at the Mandalay Bay for just the fans in general. When you say home run, grand slam every at bat.
Yeah.
I mean, no, it's what you said. It's fantastic. You literally can host a Super Bowl there every year because you would never have to worry about where am I going to stay. Plenty of hotels for you.
The only caveat is can't have National Finals Rodeo at the same time, as it was hotel rooms were hard this weekend. TJ Husmanzadeh joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. Okay, so let's get to a bunch of stuff. Let's start tonight because this is actually a really interesting game. The Patriots would have the number one seed and would be going into their bye week. Right? Like this, you want to talk about things kind of coming together, but this is a different level of competition. And you have the 20 years of dominance really by the Bills last year, kind of notwithstanding, but last year it wasn't a fair fight. Give me your thoughts going into tonight's Monday Night Football game.
The Bills, they need to win this game. Going into last season, we didn't know what the Bills would be. You had a inkling that they'd be pretty good. They sweep the Patriots. The Patriots don't have a great year. Josh Allen looks great. Oh, my God, this is going to be the Bills division for a long time. They'll battle with the Dolphins. In the span of months, or it's changed. It's now, the Patriots are the best team. Can the Bills beat them? And before that, the narrative was, how long will it take before the Patriots get back? And so the Bills must win this game. They have to be impressive. This is a Josh Allen type of game. It's windy. He's big. He has the arm strength to play in this type of weather. Are they going to be able to stop New England's run? And can they produce big plays? New England plays a ton of man-to-man. Stephon Diggs is really good man-to-man coverage as a receiver. Very interesting, but I think the Bills must win this game.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, I'm watching, and I understand they have injuries to their defensive backfield, but if you're Baltimore, don't you want to play in overtime because you're the better team than Pittsburgh?
Doug, I was watching that game, and I said, normally the better team kicks the PAT and plays for overtime because we are going to win in OT. The cream rises to the top over time, more time. But that shocked me. And, yeah, you had Marlon Humphreys go down, and you have guys that are hurt. You guys should still be able to win the game. I was shocked that they went for two. It was a great play call. Should have completed it. But if I'm the coach, I'm going overtime.
Speaking of which, is the league catching up to Lamar?
I wouldn't say the league is catching. It's hard. That's just what it gives you something to talk about. I'm going to say no because are they playing great football? No, they're not. They're still leading their division. They're 8-4. They're not a bad team. And so they're just not – they're not scoring a lot of points. Their defense is really keeping them in the game. Lamar's throwing more interceptions than he's ever thrown. Catching up to him? No, but he's just not playing as well as he has in years past. But there's quite a few quarterbacks that we can name that aren't playing the way they played in years past.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. The Big Ben, it wasn't an announcement. It's a story that it's becoming increasingly likely. This is last year in Pittsburgh. And he kind of deflected. This is a surprise to no one, right? Like, he's just not the same guy anymore.
Oh, you watch the games. Honestly, Pittsburgh, they did him a solid and said, oh, we'll let you run it back again and have a farewell type of year. Last year, you knew they needed to move on from Ben. They didn't have anybody in-house. They didn't have a succession plan. And so let's see what he can give us this year. It's just what we said about Baltimore. They're winning games and staying competitive in games on the back of their defense. If their defense doesn't play well, they have absolutely no chance. Big Ben is a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's been good a very, very long time. But it's almost painful to watch. I mean, even when he makes a great throw like he did, Deontay Johnson, who's been having a really good year, he dropped the ball, you're like, oh, can Ben make that throw again? And so the reports of him retiring, I thought everybody knew that. It just wasn't reported. But I thought it was a foregone conclusion that this was Big Ben's last year.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. I'm sitting there going, hey, the Niners are finally clicking. They're finally hitting on all cylinders. They're a dangerous, dangerous team. Seattle, the last couple of weeks, has looked like a disaster, like a complete abject disaster. But fake punt for a touchdown, which, I mean, that you never see. You feel like you never see that in the NFL. You do see that Jimmy Garoppolo untimely interception and an amazing game, which Seattle wins. Should I rethink where I am with the Niners watching them lose to Seattle?
I didn't think the Niners were a playoff team. They've been two up and down. Yeah, they won here some games of late. And not only the fake punt, Doug, they were backed up. They were backed up. I believe it was on like the 30-yard line. I'm like, a fake punt? This doesn't work. You're pretty much giving the game away in the first quarter. It worked for them. And so if it didn't work, everybody would be killing Pete Carroll about it. Oh, why do you do that? But because it worked, it's a great call. When in actuality, it's a bad call. It's a bad call. It just worked for them. But the Niners, I never thought they were a playoff team. Jimmy G, he's up and down in his quarterback play. He had been playing well. But he had been playing well because they were running the ball so effectively that it opened up so many other things. George Kittle was unguardable yesterday. He was like, you couldn't do anything with Kittle. And so when you have one guy putting on performances the way Kittle did without Debo, Seattle, for some reason, they just play the Niners very well. Division game, Pete Carroll understands how to play them. And the 49ers really couldn't run the ball as effectively as they had in games past. And so the game was on Jimmy G's shoulders. Couldn't do it.
How do you explain to me the L.A. Chargers who, you know, three of the four quarters yesterday looked like the best team in the NFL against the Bengals team, which is good, right? But they got embarrassed in Denver the week before. They lose to a Vikings team at home. They almost give away the Steelers game, which they're up two touchdowns. It's a laugher. Like, how do you explain the Chargers' lack of consistency?
Any given Sunday, Doug, and that's what it is. If you go back to that game, and I watched that one as well, kind of going back and forth, they're up 9-0. Jamar Chase drops a 100% for sure touchdown that turns into an interception. Instead of it being 9-7, it's 16-0. You fast forward, it's 24-22. Bengals have scored 22 unanswered points. They're driving. Joe Mixon fumbles. They're driving to take the lead. And he picks it up and goes 60 for the touchdown. And now instead of the Bengals having a 29-24 lead, they're down 31-22.
Right.
And so the Chargers are a really good football team. Opportunity happened for them yesterday. That doesn't happen often. Very rarely is a guy going to drop a wide open touchdown. Very rarely is your best player going to fumble and you pick it up and score. They had a lot of things go their way yesterday. The Chargers need to if I'm not mistaken, they're the worst run defense in the league. They were very, very good yesterday run defense-wise. And so offensively is where they hang their hat on, but that defense is going to have to be more consistent because you can't put the game on Herbert and say, hey, throw jump balls down the field, and they're going to make those plays each and every week.
TJ Husmanzada. Check out Up On Game, LeVar Arrington, Plaxico Burress, and TJ every Saturday, noon to 2 Eastern time. Plus, you can download it as a podcast as well. TJ, you're the best. Thanks for joining us.
My God, take care, my man.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
What up with you, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio? Hope you're having a good day. Drew Meyer sends me a direct message. Looks like you were right all along when you interviewed Mario Cristobal earlier this year. And every answer was go Ducks, LOL. Let me just say this about Mario Cristobal. And it's with so many of these coaches that get accused of lying when earlier in the year they said that they were, you know, they gave some sort of defensive answer to a question about another school, right? Like even Lincoln Riley was at his first answer after losing his last game at Oklahoma to Oklahoma State was, let me just start right here. I'm not going to be the next head coach at LSU. Now, what's to say that if LSU offered some crazy, like, all right, what about $20 million a year? Like he doesn't take it, but it happens the next day. And what happens is even if you give the answer of as of right now, then everybody feasts on that. I think I'm a pretty fair guy. At the time in which Mario Cristobal was asked about USC, which I asked him about USC, it was a legitimate question. My issue with Mario's answer on this show was very defensive. And I could not have asked it in a more neutral and fair way. And so, like, look, all you'd ask him to do is, I understand why you're asking the question, because USC is a great program. We think we have a great program. We just beat Ohio State. Like, I don't even, there's none of that is really going to be discussed during this season. Like, you know, end of every season, coaching changes happen. I don't know. There's a way to formulate the answer and be honest and real and basically say at this moment, even if it's really only at that moment. Because I don't think they're all lying Like, I don't think Mario Cristobal was going to USC or wanted to go USC. Miami's where he's from. Remember, he was fired at FIU. He goes out and has a great year, and they've loaded up with three top 10 recruiting classes at Oregon. Like, he's done a very good job of solidifying that program. And you know, if we're really honest, they got embarrassed. They got DePant Friday night. I'm not sure that's only because Utah's better than them. I'm sure some of this crept into it. But also, like, you know, their game planning hadn't been great. They haven't figured out the quarterback position either. This is not a program killer for Oregon. We didn't ask him about Miami, and even if you asked about Miami 2 months ago, 3 months ago, they weren't making a coaching change then. And I'll even give a little bit of a pass to Miami for leaving Manny Diaz floating in the wind as they try to figure out. They didn't want to make a coaching change unless it was Mario Cristobal. That's why this went down the way it went down. I kind of get that. Manny Diaz is fine. He's okay. He's not the best. The best guy out there is Mario Cristobal. If we can get Mario Cristobal, we'll make a change. If we can't, we won't. Am I the only guy that thinks that's not the world's worst thing? All right, Joel Klatt in 20 minutes. Pat Mahomes' offense continues to struggle, but they got another win. Here's what he said after the game.
You win football games, you win football games at the end of the day. And so for us, if we keep winning football games, defense keeps playing the way that they're playing. When the offense, we really become who we know we can be, we'll be a hard football team to beat.
I've loved the defense. Our defense has, I think, stepped up and really played well. So good, solid football. They're attacking. It's a great tempo setter for everybody. The offense has been doing enough to grab a couple points and have some nice drives. With room to improve. We all have room to improve. So
we feel like we're not playing our best football. We have spurts where we're really good, and then we have spurts where we kind of have these we're not scoring. We're not finding ways to finish drives. So definitely as a competitor, you want to be better.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're saying all the right things in platitudes, just not playing well. Here's Andy Reid after the game.
I've loved the defense. Our defense has, I think, stepped up and really played well. So good, solid football. They're attacking. It's a great tempo setter for everybody. The offense has been doing enough to grab a couple points and have some nice drives with room to improve. We all have room to improve. So
we all have room to improve. And truer words have never been spoken, right? I don't know. It's one of those, you have to watch the game, and maybe some of it does remind me, like, again, I'll draw on two references, both with kids. We had 7 12-year-olds, one's 13. So 6 12-year-olds, one 13-year-old, and we went to the Raider game. And the game comes down to the very end. You know, the Raiders come down, they kick a field goal, take the lead. Washington comes back. Heineke makes a couple plays. They kick a field goal. They take the lead. Raiders, and that pass that Carr threw to, what's his name?
Jones?
Yeah, Zay Jones, yeah. I could have been PI. I don't know if they mentioned the broadcast. That was 70 yards in the air. That was an amazing throw from Derek Carr. He had a guy wide open at the 50. I think he had DeSean Jackson wide open at the 50-yard line, and they had plenty of time if they downed it to then, you know, another completion, get in a field goal range. But he took a shot, and probably should have been pass interference. But that was, an amazing throw. The end of the game was really exciting. So we're walking away from the stadium, and, you know, you're asking, you're pulling the boys, what'd you guys think of this? What'd you guys think of that? They were like, you know, it was kind of boring until the end was exciting. And what I wanted to say was, you know, that's kind of football, right? Like NFL football games, when you're in person, there's not these spectacular plays on every drive. And, you know, I've referenced this in times before where my son, his first flag football game, he was like 5 years old. He was crying in the car on the way home. He's like, there were no spectacular plays. I think we believe that every single NFL game that Pat Mahomes plays in, he throws a no-look pass. Every single one, he finds Tyreek Hill open deep, and he does the deuces and runs for a touchdown. Every single game has Travis Kelce catching for 200 yards. And the reality is, like, this is more in line with most of the NFL. You know, it's the old, hey, war has always produced dead bodies, but once we have television cameras in Vietnam sending them home on a daily basis so it's on the nightly news, it changes everybody's perspective. The same is true with Pat Mahomes. Granted, this is a longer drought. This is worse than we've seen before. But not every Pat Mahomes game in the past was some shootout where he threw for 5 touchdown passes and 672 yards. Hope that makes sense. Yes, Jason Stewart.
Was it Hayes that said that to you? Was that your son who said, it was pretty boring until the end? Is that who it was?
Well, there's one kid named Jacob who he's a one-track mind, all basketball.
Ah, okay.
And he didn't even want to go to the game. He's like, I talked to him in halftime. He's like, I don't even know what's happening. Like, really?
Because yeah, I've been telling people for years, and maybe this is just me being a curmudgeon, but like, I think the most overrated experience in sports is going to an NFL football game. You don't realize how much downtime there is. Those commercial breaks are long. There's a lot of time between plays. And I've done my one Super Bowl because you know what? They add like 1 or 2 more minutes to those commercial breaks and you're just like sitting there. So I completely relate to that comment.
No, yes, an NFL game in person, NBA game in person. A tough watch at times. Really can't. Like, you got to be baseball, because it's so much easier to have a conversation, though boring, like, kind of set up for that sort of thing. And look, football is getting smart. They do have, you know, different sort of entertainment, but there's only so much you can do during that shortened period of time. You know, it's not like you can wheel out a band every time and you have giveaways and whatever. It's why I remain steadfast in that the next wave of change in watching sporting events will be live in-stadium betting on everything going on that game. Now, the biggest problem with the NFL is, how do you watch the other games? You know, it's Sunday afternoon. You can't watch any of the 4 o'clock East Coast time window. But, yeah, it's... So, your point, Jason, is my point about Pat Mahomes.